Welcome to our session for October 17th. Just got back from Little Rock, Arkansas, so I have to keep checking to figure out what day of the week it is and what the date is. Something's going on with the thing, so don't get too technical, Madison. I don't know what just happened, but everything just got squirrely on my end, so don't touch anything. So welcome everybody. If this is your first time on the session, welcome. If this is your first time checking out a recording, welcome. I do want to say hi to all the people who watch the recordings, because I'm finding out that there's quite a number of people who stay caught up with us that way. And I'm really glad that you're here as well. I did just get back from Little Rock, Arkansas. Aaron and I went there for the weekend, and quite a few people here in the mentorship tonight were at that immersion training. It's a version of the 4-month in-person training that I offer, and we did an immersion weekend. And wow, we immersed, and it was a lot of fun. It was really good. And Paula hosted us, which was really sweet. And it was my first time in Little Rock, Arkansas, and it was a really wonderful group. And for those of you who were at the retreat, I wanted to show you what Jessica brought me, because she came, I think, from Illinois, right? I think we have somebody else. Amber's from Illinois, just so y'all can find each other. But she brought the goddess of Willendorf as a candle, so I can't really light it, because then I would feel weird. But isn't that neat? She brought the goddess of Willendorf in a honey candle. So it's literally very sweet. And so thank you for that, Jessica. I thought that was really neat, because we worked with that energy at the retreat, and I wanted to share that with everybody. For those of you who weren't at the retreat, feel free to check out. You can Google goddess of Willendorf and learn about that energy. It's a really beautiful goddess medicine. And I feel like let's go ahead and let Sandra do our opening meditation, and I will mute myself. Sandra, you can unmute yourself. I'll let her do a brief opening. You ready?
I think so. Can you? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. All right. Well, everyone, go ahead and close your eyes, and let's take 3 deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And since you're all muted except for me, go ahead and you can make a deep sigh, because that's going to help tell your body to relax. And then just imagine, I'm not, if you're sitting or even if you're lying down, imagine from your root chakra, from your sitz bones, send out with your intentions some roots spiraling down through the floor, through multiple floors if you're in an apartment, down till they get into the ground. Roots just spiraling down, down into the earth. And they start branching out like the roots of a tree and continue to go down, connecting you to this beautiful planet, Mother Earth, Pachamama. Continuing to spiral down, feeling rooted, stable, and supported by this beautiful planet, our mother. See yourself connected, one with Mama Gaia. And now with your intention, call up the energy from the earth and bring it back up through your roots. Up through the soles of your feet, up through your sits bones. Energy just filling your body, traveling up through your core, up each chakra, and out through the crown of your head, up into the cosmos. Connecting you to the heavens and the earth. Stable and grounded, and yet in touch with your higher self. Feel that connection in your body, in your being. Feeling solid, rooted, grounded. And you'll maintain this connection throughout tonight's ceremony. And when you feel complete, you can open your eyes.
Breathing into your belly, invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below, Zadkiel, Melchizedek, San Germain, San Cipriano. Activating this temple grid space so that we are together in medicine world. Only pure love and pure medicine are welcome into this space. As we stand and gather and sit at the sacred fire, activating support for your highest and greatest good throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms, activating your soul self to receive wisdom, clarity, clear understanding, clear knowing, clear seeing, activating openness, willingness, receptivity, awareness, consciousness, depth, invoking the Munari to support and assist us tonight, invoking my legions of support to be with each of you, and also calling in my healing team to be with each of you and your guides, amplifying the support for this evening. May our hearts be open. Invoking Pachamama, Mama Kocha, Wira Kocha, Inti Taita Kuichi, Apu Kuna, Nyusta Kuna. Del Sol, La Luna. Ancestors, Archangels, Star Beings, Winged Ones, Four-Legged Insect and Reptile Kingdoms, Beings that live in the waters. Ascended masters, teachers, guides. And all those who are ready to step into the space as pure love and pure medicine, on behalf of each of you, for complete support of your intentions this evening. I take a nice deep breath into your belly. Now you can open your eyes again. Thank you, Sandra. I wanted to follow that up and add a little mojo. I really appreciate you doing that. Sandra knew she was going to do that about 15 minutes ago, and she just jumped right in. And that's how apprentices work, and I'm really grateful for that. Also, I've said this before, but Madison was not on the session when I said it, and I don't know if she saw it. So I really want to let you all, that since Madison is here, know that this would not happen without her. Period. So, and she's the one, if you look for the little square, she's the one who looks like she's in a space pod. You'll find her there. So she's in her studio. She's a musician. and a singer, a musician, a piano teacher, and all sorts of things. Really, really creative and talented. And truly, y'all, all the behind the scenes, she sent out an email today letting you know of all the upgrades and things that have been happening so that ideally you can access these recordings with more grace and ease, and they come up quicker. And she's the one who answers all those emails, and she's super grounded and way more patient than I could ever dream of being. And I'm truly, truly grateful. I'm glad that you're here tonight, Madison, so I could say that to everybody with you here, because it really would not be happening without her support. And I really mean that. So thank you again. And I know that you connect in a little bit in the Facebook page, but I just wanted to acknowledge your support here. And Sandra, thank you again for co-hosting tonight as well, for being willing to be a backup. Aaron couldn't be here tonight, so it's awesome that Sandra gets the chance to step up. Ideally, some of the students in the advanced training will get to start stepping up a little bit. We'll see how that works. I want to read a little something to you. We're going to have story time with Mama Bloom, Grandma Bloom, Auntie Bloom, whatever you want to call me. So over the weekend, little story, Becky, who I don't know if you're here tonight, Becky, I got to put on my granny glasses, but I can't see if she's here. Becky was at the training this weekend in Little Rock, and she works at a zoo, and she's been working at a zoo for, I think she said 27 years. She might have said 17. I might be putting all sorts of years on her that are not hers. However, she's been there a long time. And she very, very lovingly gifted both Aaron and I two porcupine quills. One is a really long one. I should have brought them in, and I totally didn't. I should have brought the show and tell, but she brought a short one and a really long one, I think from two different kinds of porcupines. And so that medicine was up for us over the weekend. That was really neat. I've never been gifted a porcupine quill or any porcupine medicine before, and honestly don't necessarily talk about porcupine very much. And so tonight, I still haven't completely unpacked everything from the weekend, the mesa and the tools that I took. So tonight, when I reached in to get the things that I need, I thought, I don't need to turn on the light. I know what's in this basket. Completely forgot there's porcupine quills in there, and immediately stabbed myself with a porcupine quill when I reached into my basket. I'm okay. I didn't even draw blood, but it was like, okay, porcupine, I guess you want to get some attention tonight and show up for the group. So by the way, porcupine quills are very sharp, and they're very good at what they do. They're very good at their purpose. Yeah, but I'm okay. But I wanted to read just what it means when porcupine shows up. Those in the training know that I ask you to connect in on your own, but I want to go ahead and share this. So if porcupine shows up, it means make sure your diet includes nutritious and organic vegetables, especially green ones. It's important for you to move along at your own pace rather than hurrying because of pressure from others or external circumstances. There's no need to worry because you are well protected, so relax and enjoy whatever you are doing. Trust that you'll be respected as long as you respect others. Know that you have magical abilities as long as you maintain faith in yourself. So I thought that was pretty neat. That's from the Stephen Farmer book, Animal Spirit Guides. He's got more information, but I wanted to just share that first part and encourage each of you, if we end up doing a shamanic journey tonight, to tap in with porcupine. The great thing about these totem books is they can also go under your laptop to help raise your laptop up a little bit when you're doing a mentorship session. So I just popped that under the laptop there. So thank you, Porcupine Medicine. And I posted in the group, and quite a number of people were asking about relationships, which is no surprise. Relationships, abundance, past lives, you know, these are some of the things that come up a lot for people, and they have lots of questions. So the first thing I want to say is that everything we are doing is connected to everything you want to do. So even if I don't say it's related to certain things, it's all related. It's all related. If you're doing personal soul retrievals, if you're doing cord clearing and forgiveness work, if you're doing activations, if we're doing prosperity work, lineage work, karma clearing, all of that, it's all connected. So even if I don't say specifically that it will support other things, it's all connected. Just Take that in. It's all connected. So my experience is that through being committed to these tools and working with these tools regularly as possible, ideally in some way every day, the relationship things became more clear, and I was able to manifest and draw in the relationships I wanted, whether romantic partnership or friendship or business relationships, students, clients, all of that. It also supports relationships with family. It supports abundance. It supports prosperity. It's all connected. So I wanted to mention that in case I hadn't before. And as you create personal relationship with your guides in the realms and trust your intuitive abilities and are more able to receive clarity and do your personal work within this context and the other tools that I hope you're working with, I hope you have other support beyond this. As you do that, these questions that you're asking will be made more clear for you. It's not that I'm not going to answer those questions. And I also want you to know that I'm always answering those questions, even if I don't say that's what it's about, because this is about empowering you to trust what you're receiving and do your work on your own. I find that as far as romantic partnership, I feel honestly the most important thing to do is focus on your work, your healing, your leveling up, your openness, stepping into your gifts and your medicine and your abilities, so that you can either call in, invoke, manifest the kind of partnership that you're looking for, or amplify the partnership that you're already in, and be more emotionally healthy and prepared when possible partnerships show up and make themselves available to you. My personal experience in the past and up to the present moment has been the health of the people I'm drawing in is directly correlated to my health. The emotional health and all of that is very much correlated with how healthy I am. So, and this goes, whatever you're choosing to draw into your life, I date men, so I'm going to use that as my example. This goes with everything though. The men that I've drawn into my life have gotten healthier and healthier and healthier in partnership as I've gotten healthier. So I realized a while ago, instead of focusing outside of myself on them or other and external, that the more I focused on my internal, it shifted the gene pool of what was showing up for me today. It really did shift the kind of men that were showing up in my life to date. And I started finding myself with a lot more clarity. So the other piece I want to add here is that everything I'm going to tell you about these relationship situations are stories, because everything is a story. So you can go online and you can Google about soulmates, twin flames, beloveds, past lives, all of that, and everybody will have their experience of it, and it's all true, and it's all made up. Because really what we're doing is our best to create some sort of container so that we'll understand. We do this with everything. Chakras are a container to help us understand energy. Religion is a container to help us understand. Shamanic journeying is a container to help us understand. The word shamanism is a container to help us understand. The fact that I call myself Bloom is a story in a container to help you understand, you know, how to relate to me. So what I would encourage first, before I get into a bunch of information, is hold all of this very lightly. Hold it lightly. I'm hesitant sometimes to talk too much about these kinds of things, because sometimes people show up to work with me in private sessions who are really attached to past lives. And they're like, well, I act this way because in this past life, that thing happened. And so I must act that way because of that past life. Or, well, there are just a lot of stories can be written that aren't necessarily supportive. And the same thing with these ideas around soulmates and twin flames and all that. I talk to all sorts of different teachers who have all sorts of different ideas about what that means. So at this point, I hold it all very lightly. I take in the information, I decide what feels resonant for me, and I do my work. I do my healing. I do my practices. Because then what resonates for me and what comes clear for me supports me. So I'm open to sharing information about how I perceive it, and I would like for you to hold it lightly and know that if it contradicts something else you've read, it's because we're all correct. Wherever it's all made up and it's all true. And that's shamanism right there. Everything's in the gray area and holding two opposing thoughts and letting and being able to hold two opposing thoughts and being in equanimity and harmony with that really is the basis of shamanism. And so yes and yes is holding these opposing thoughts. Is it completely made up? Yes. Is it all totally true? Yes. Is everybody correct? Yes. And our little programs go, how could everybody be correct? Because we want to cling to, is this right? Is that right? Do you have the answers? And as much as I would love to teach that way, because I'd probably have gazillion people coming and working with me, it just doesn't resonate for me to teach that way. This is about personal responsibility. And I'm going to continue to reflect and reflect and reflect and offer you the opportunity for personal responsibility and personal decision making. If something that I share resonates for you, keep it, make it your own. And if 2 years from now you decide it doesn't resonate anymore because you've leveled up and you have your own insights, let it go. That's how it works for me. My experience with all of these practices that we're doing is that the more commitment and the more consistent I've been, all the other stuff I wondered about has come into focus, and I've been able to manifest things that I had no idea I could manifest. Okay, so having said all of that, my experience and the way I've learned and the way I'm sitting with teachers and the way I've pulled together something that makes sense to me is, and I talked a little bit about this at the Arkansas training, twin flames are that person that it's really hard to stay away from, but it pushes all of your buttons to be in relationship with them. You may not be in romantic partnership with your twin flame. Your twin flame might be a coworker that you hate, love to hate to love. I think a lot of people assume that these are always romantic relationships. Soulmates are not always romantic relationships. Your dog can be your soulmate. Your cat can be your soulmate. Your child. You can be soulmates with your children. I have a friend who was talking about soulmates, and his kids are his soulmates. It's so beautiful. So for me, the idea of soulmates and twin flames is bigger than romantic relationship. And I've seen through all the work I've done, especially individually with people, how a lot of times you will draw in soulmates, and they'll be those people in your life, that best friend that feels like a soulmate, but it's not romantic, okay? I've had relationships with soulmates that were really good until they weren't, because I was leveling up and doing the work and they weren't. I've had relationships with soulmates that were clearing karma, and I bet you all know exactly how that feels when you've been with somebody and you look back and go, wow, I just cleared a bunch of karma. That was really hard. I've had those relationships too. I have met my twin flame, and that was a mess. The way Shaman John taught me, the first teacher I ever sat with, he said, if you meet your twin flame, run the other direction. he was only half kidding. He was actually married to his twin flame at the time, and said that it was the hardest, most challenging relationship he'd ever been in. It was passionate. It was very much what you would think from twin flame, you know, it was very fiery and passionate, and but it was a constant mirror of all his shadow stuff and all his work, and it was not an easy relationship. And so he taught me that twin flames are those relationships that are constantly reflecting for you and offering you the opportunity to grow and level up, but you got to know that that's what's happening. And sometimes we meet our twin flame and we don't know that's what's happening. So it can start out really fiery and really passionate, like the shooting star, and then poof, it burns itself out. Soulmates, he was telling me that soulmates are more what we want to find. That's can be much more graceful and easeful, and we don't have to be in romantic partnership with them. But if we do, it can be really sweet. It may or may not be super extraordinarily passionate, but it could be just really, really, really wonderful the way you feel about someone who feels like a soulmate. And so people will learn to bring the passion into it, things like that. What I've been learning over the past couple of years with teachers, especially in the realms, is that there's also the energy of beloved. And beloved is, in my opinion, what we're looking for and really, really hard to find. Eye of a needle kind of thing, because we don't necessarily incarnate at the same time or age appropriate or in the same country. So we don't always find beloved. I have a friend who's found her beloved, and that beloved has no interest in being in relationship with her. And so she's very confused about that. And I'm not trying to be a buzzkill. I really feel like I'm being a buzzkill right now. I'm just going to share with you what I've learned over the years, because I felt for a long time, I've been single more than I've been in relationship. And for a long time, I was really yearning for that and was really angry that the universe had not brought me my partner, my man. Where is my man? Where is my man? They got a man. He got a woman. Everybody got somebody. Why don't I have somebody, right? I was in that space. And I may have told you this, but I'll repeat it. I went into ceremony and had the experience of getting married, having kids, they had kids, so I had grandchildren. I literally had the visceral experience throughout the night of that ceremony of having that life, and then watching, you know, seeing how my getting old, grandchildren, all of that, seeing how my husband died, and then seeing my own death. And it was not traumatic at all. It was very much living a life that has not been my third dimensional experience in this lifetime. And I got to live that life. And the next day, it didn't even occur to me until sometime in the afternoon, I just suddenly clicked that all that yearning had dissipated. The fear of missing out, should I have kids? Should I have had kids? All of that, it was gone, because I had literally gone into ceremony and lived that felt sense experience. And I've lived that. I have a husband and kids and grandkids in this lifetime. Well, I probably don't have grandkids yet. I'm only 48. I don't know how young I was when I had kids, but you can do that in shamanic journey. You can go in and live an experience that you thought might have happened in this lifetime and didn't. And it's very much like a life soul retrieval. I didn't realize that at the time, but in retrospect, that's what it feels like. So that fear of missing out, that FOMO, and maybe that yearning can integrate and clear. And once I cleared that yearning and I wasn't yearning anymore, I was then able to be really very much in touch with self-love, really embodying that. And that's a practice. It wasn't just a concept for me anymore. It was, I am my own beloved. I am beloved. That was what I kept telling myself. And then about a year and a half later, I decided, okay, because I really was good. I'm like, I'm good. Some brother wants to show up. Great. Brother doesn't show up. Great. I am truly good. I really was. I was good. And then at some point I decided I'm ready to call in beloved. And I activated my grid. I sent out the beacon. I let beloved know that I have arrived. If you are here, come find me. And so that's how I've worked with it. And for those of you wondering, yes, he finally came and found me. We found each other. It took about a year and a half, 2 years. But I was good either way. I'm going to tell you a lot of personal stuff, because it's the only way I know how to talk about relationship is my personal experience and how I've learned. I'm not telling you this is truth with capital T. I'm telling you this is my truth. I remember sitting at my mesa doing personal work, being really pissed off that I didn't have a partner, and doing my mojo, doing all my stuff, and receiving counsel that I had been looking at it like it was a, you know, that card game that kids play where you have to lift up one and find the match and they're all turned over face down. You lift up the fish and you're looking for the other fish and you take turns. So I had in my mind that was how relationship works. And that's dating. You just keep picking up cards, looking for the one that finally matches you, right? And the universe said, You made that up. There was never a guarantee that you're going to find your perfect match. You've been writing that story. You've been angry at the universe, Bloom, for something that was never guaranteed to you, and it was never guaranteed. Nobody ever told you that's how it worked, except maybe Walt Disney and, you know, Jane Austen. But I'd been programmed by the culture that everybody finds their perfect match. Everybody in this group might find their perfect match. And I know a lot of people out there who have not found their perfect match and have lived their life and moved on without finding what I would have called their perfect match or what they would call their perfect match. I'm telling you this because once I realized that, I let go of that program. I let go of that story. I really focused on my own work, my internal work, my self-love, my I am beloved. I am my beloved. I am beloved. And everything shifted for me. And I, you know, it felt like when I met this person, I didn't recognize my beloved and he didn't recognize me. It took a couple months before, well, probably took a little less than that, but it took a couple months for us to say anything about it. So I'm telling you this because I do believe that you can totally manifest someone that you want to manifest when you do your work and let go of the attachment and the codependency. And it's great to see a therapist over this too, because I did definitely, I still talk to a therapist. I have an amazing Jungian counselor that I go and talk to. I really encourage you to have a support team. So for those of you asking about past life stuff, yes, anybody you're in partnership with, you have past life connections with. Because I don't know specifically what any of you might have been wanting to know about when you commented on the page, I will tell you that in general, my experience is do cord clearing and forgiveness. As soon as you meet somebody you're interested in, you don't have to tell them you're doing it, but go home and do a cord clearing and forgiveness with that person throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms. Go to my YouTube channel, find the recording, and do it immediately. That's what I've done with the last two or three relationships I've had. And that's what I did with this man that I'm currently seeing. I immediately went home and went, let's just clean this up before we even hop on this train, right? And it has very much shifted the energy and helped keep me out of codependency and him as well, even though he didn't know I was doing it. Anybody that you meet and would like to keep the energy clean and clear, go ahead and do cord clearing and forgiveness. You don't have to have time with them here on the planet. You don't have to have any issues with them. This is about activating healthy connection, empowering healthy connection, and clearing out unhealthy attachments. I found that to be very supportive, very, very, very supportive. You can go and look at past lives and see where you're connected if you know how to do that. If you don't know how to do that, you can do it with me. But you can see what's going on there, especially, I can't remember, was it you, Tamara, who was asking about somebody that you keep having stuff with, going back and forth? Was that you? So if you're having challenges with somebody that kind of keeps coming in, coming out, or whatever the situation is, you can go look at your past lives and see where some of that is. Don't get too attached to those past lives. I've worked with people who get super attached to what happened in past lives and bring that energy into this lifetime and get all stuck in the story. I work with the past lives with this person in order to clear it, clean it up, heal it in order to empower our connection in this lifetime. So Tamara, I'm going to unmute you. Do you want to give me a little bit of specifics? I don't want you to go into too much if you don't want to.
Well, mine wasn't the thing you just said about the in and out. Mine was more of like trying to figure out the dynamics of like a really intense connection that really does feel like through lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms, I know this person. And, like, it feels supportive right now, but also a little intense. Like, I think I'm definitely going to take your advice and do a core clearing on it. But also, I don't know, she's really curious and wants to know exactly where we know each other from. And I have a lot of resistance to even, like, I don't know, for some reason, like, past life stuff doesn't really float my boat at this time. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's where I was at with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine if past life stuff doesn't float your boat. Doing the cord clearing and forgiveness throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms will help clean up any past life stuff. And my experience is that everybody in this group right now listening to me talking, we have past life connection, right? It may not be romantic, or maybe it was. To any of you that I had a relationship with in other lifetimes, I love you. Mwah, it's so good to see you again. But like, seriously though, like you have past life connection with the bag boy at Ingles. It just, or y'all might not have Ingles. That's a supermarket. But it may have been that in some other lifetime, he was also working at a shop and you came into that shop and that's the extent of it. You know, it's not always some big thing. So yeah, I mean, Tamara, if that doesn't resonate for you, don't go check it out. My experience is that when I go and clean up, especially the intensity you're talking about, seeing where that comes from, if it's creating anything that doesn't feel healthy. If it's intense, you're an intense person, honey. So you're going to, you want somebody that can meet you and match you in that way.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's happening. And, but at the same time, I don't know, I guess I'm being mirrored back because people are really afraid of my intensity a lot of times. And I guess I'm afraid of that kind of connection as well, because I'm not used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something to navigate. If it starts to feel unhealthy, then looking at where it got wonky in other lifetimes might be supportive. I feel like you've got a really balanced energy around it of, well, I could look at past lives, but I'm not going to get attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, as I was talking about, sometimes people get really attached to the past life thing and can't seem to live in the present moment. And you got to chop wood, carry water in the relationship today. And so, yeah, I think it's great that you're, you know, I would say stay open to the past life stuff if it feels good to do that. I mean, I like intensity. And I was in relationship with people who said they liked my intensity and loved my power and I'm so magical. Then like 6 months later, I don't like your intensity. Everything they said they liked, suddenly they didn't. Yeah. So to find someone who matches you will empower you to level up. Your stuff will come up when you find somebody who holds that reflection. And that's where we really do our personal work to recognize, am I triggered? Am I being reactive? Am I projecting? Or is this person really matching me and holding a mirror that's allowing me the opportunity to heal? If it feels expansive, that feels good. If it feels constricting, then I would definitely look into that. And that goes for anybody. And that really goes for any relationship. So thanks. Is Talitha here? Where's Talitha? Do you see Talitha, Madison? I can't see. She may not be here. She was asking about somebody on the page. Huh, I thought she was here. Maybe she's on the phone. Well, Talitha, I can connect in with you about that later. I can't quite remember. I apologize. I don't quite remember what she was talking about. Jennifer Rambo had mentioned things being up around, you know, relationships and kids. So I want to remind everybody, your kids can be, Jennifer, I'll unmute you. Your kids can be soulmates, and your kids can, here's the thing. You can have been in romantic relationship with a close family member in some other lifetime. So my adopted dad and I definitely had intense energy in some other lifetime, and there was a romantic aspect involved. I have no interest in dating my adopted dad, obviously. But once I started checking into past lives and went, oh, and I'm adopted too. So it was real easy because we're not in the same lineage. So it was easy to find that we had some kind of connection between us, and I was able to see a lot of reasons why the energy was funky between us. So sometimes you'll show up as the mom and they'll show up as the kid. Sometimes they show up as the mom and you show up as the kid. I've worked with people who will have a child who's very protective of the mother or very protective of the father and I can find the lifetime where I see that they were the parent. And so sometimes they get confused about their role. So Jennifer, was there anything specific?
It was more about the dynamic between my two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And after hearing you talk about twin flames, they're twin flames.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
They love to hate each other. And it's getting to the point where it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Be in the same house with that energy all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's.
And I mean, if I were in your physical shoes, as Abraham likes to say, I would do a cord clearing between the two of them. You don't have to have, I know they're little, so they wouldn't really understand how to do that, but I would do a cord forgiveness and cord clearing between the two of them on behalf of the two of them to help clean up that energy. And I really feel like even an awareness of the energy that's going on helps you deal with it better. Yeah. You know, so you don't have to have it all figured out, but just an awareness of why they cannot seem to mesh with each other. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes as they grow up, but I would definitely do a cord clearing between the two of them. Have you done that before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, heck yes. Anybody that doesn't get along, if you've got any kids that don't get along, if you've got cats that don't get along, I mean, seriously, on their behalf, if you're their person, their protector, their parent. Some of you might have pets who you're the parent, however you perceive that. Do a cord clearing and forgiveness to help clean up that energy for sure. Yeah. Cool. Does anybody else have another question before I just keep rattling on? You can click you can post it in chat or you can click hands up or something and Madison can unmute you. Okay. I'm trying to remember what else people were asking. Whoever you're in relationship with, if it feels supportive and it feels good, you can still do cord clearing and forgiveness. If you're in an awesome partnership right now and it feels good and it's been working for years and you want it to just keep working, then don't start digging in to just try to mess it up. You know, just if you're curious, you want to see what's up, check it out. If your partner's curious and you want to find out, I feel like if you're curious and your partner's not and everything's really good, then maybe you don't want to be picking at that scab, you know. Well, it wouldn't be a scab if it was all good, so that's a bad example. But there's this, I think it's an Edgar Allan Poe story of the man who loved everything about his wife. She was perfect, except she had this mole. And she was perfect, 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 except for that mole. And one day he finally, since he was a doctor or something, I'm totally messing this up, but one day he was able to remove the mole so that she would truly be completely perfect. Well, long story short, it got infected or something happened and she ended up dying. And it's this whole lesson of like, you know, don't poke at something that really, like, check where you're projecting. I'm sure that's not what Edgar Allan Poe meant. I mean, he wasn't talking about projections, but it's what it made me think of when someone was sharing that with me. It's like, if something feels really good, you don't need to go and pull the one string that's going to pull it apart. You can still do the cord clearings, even with someone you have an amazing relationship with. It might be that you have an awesome relationship and you have other work to do in this lifetime. A lot of people are here to do relationship work. Some people are here to do all the other kinds of work. So hopefully that makes sense. Can you unmute the raised hand, Madison? Hey, who's at this number that we just unmuted, 838-989?
That's me, Michelle. Hi.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? It's 828, sorry.
I'm good. This is crazy that you're bringing this up. It's very relevant to me. So any feedback on if there's more than one person that you want to be, that you feel like you're being called to be involved with at one time? Maybe, like in my case, I have one and I'm interested in another. Very confusing.
Yeah. That's one of those things where I would go look at past lives, because that means the three of you have a past life connection.
Oh boy.
That's not a bad thing necessarily. It's not a bad thing. It's mm-hmm. just energy. So if people are trying to think of examples, but if you're in a relationship with someone and then you're interested in someone else, it's not just energy between you and the person you're interested in. That means your partner has some sort of connection with them as well. And it's been brought into this lifetime that the three of you would have that triangle in some way, even if you don't follow through with it, the energy is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, even if they're not in the same physical location, that can still be true.
Oh yeah, because if you're connecting with somebody else energetically and you're sending energy in their direction while you have a partner, they're being affected by that. Whether you bring it up or not, the energetic is shifting.
Yeah, and both of them feel real and true and beautiful, honestly.
Well, and so, the thing is, so this is a really great thing you brought up. And again, keep your mind open, everybody. I really feel like this construct of monogamy is a construct. And the construct of marriage is a program, a story, and a construct. If you want to be monogamous, go for it. Recognize that that works for you. You like that. Find someone who would like to do that with you. And remember that that's a program. That's a program. That's a Judeo-Christian program in for whatever reason. I'm not even going to get into all that. And so I feel like it's very natural to feel connected with more than one person. Whether you choose to follow that in a romantic way is your decision, and the other two people may or may not be into that. But I really believe that that's very natural, because in other lifetimes, you would have been able to be much more open and free with your relationships, and it wasn't a big deal. That was the cultural norm. Whereas in this lifetime, the cultural norm is different. In other lifetimes, you could be gay, and it was not a big deal. That was the cultural norm. And in this cultural norm, some people are okay with it, some people aren't. It's, you know, it's shifted over millennia. So when you're talking about that, Michelle, what I'm tracking is that in some other lifetime, these two people both resonated for you. You may have been in relationship with them at the same time. You may have had wonderful relationships with them in different lifetimes. You may have been family. You may, you know, there's a lot of things that could have been. So it's a matter of navigating how you would like to be in a relationship. And it really rocks people's worlds to think outside of the monogamy box sometimes. I have no judgment over that one way or the other.
Thank you.
Does that resonate at all?
Yeah, one of the people isn't into the non-monogamy. So yeah, at least one. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to just look into it. Do you have a suggestion for all of us on how to explore? You mentioned like look into the soul, their past life stuff. Like I have no idea. Like what do you mean, or how to actually do that to figure out this relationship?
These two people know who each other are?
Oh no, sort of.
Oh, okay.
No, they don't.
So the person you're in main partnership with is a monogamous relationship?
Correct. And there's a coworker that I'm very interested in. Yeah. And I'm not that kind of person. Ever had two people at one time in the day, and very confusing.
And here's the thing, what I would encourage you to do, if I was in your experience right now, I would clear cords with my current partner, cord clearing and forgiveness, just clean up the energy. I would also do a cord clearing and forgiveness with that other person and ask your guides to bring you clarity on the situation, because sometimes this other person is meant to be in romantic partnership. Sometimes, you know, all the things we just talked about, and sometimes we'll feel a deep connection and attraction to someone because we love them so much in another lifetime. So I've met people that I just assumed I was supposed to date and have romantic partnership with. And then depending on how that went down, I looked at it and went, oh, that's not what we were really doing in this lifetime. I adore you because you were my mom in some other lifetime. Or I am just so smitten with you because we were brother and sister, or sister and sister, or best friends. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know who this guy is to you that you met at work. I'm not even going to guess, but I would encourage you to do the cord clearing and forgiveness. And then as you track the energy, and this is usually what I do in past life work, is track the energy and find out maybe you feel attracted to this person because you had such a love in another lifetime, but it wasn't necessarily romantic.
That's great, Bloom. That's awesome. Love that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's something you'll need to track for yourself. I'll have to figure out how to teach you all how to do some of this past life work online. Let me sit with that. I'll figure it out. Spirit will show me how to do it. I've just only generally done it one-on-one because, each of you all has your gazillion different lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms experiences. So I haven't necessarily done it as a group, but perhaps I could just teach you all how to do it. I do talk about it in my Shaman's Toolbox book, though, and that'll give you some of the basics. But yeah, thanks for asking, Michelle. Those were some good questions to help me think in terms of other things to share. Cool.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah, have fun in California. Does anybody else have a question or anything about that? Is everybody like, I want a shamanic journey now. I'm so tired of dating. So, yeah, so all of this is just how it works for me. But the bottom line is take care of you, be your own beloved. I know that, you know, there's this idea of self-love that sounds really great and feels really challenging sometimes, but it's because it needs to be a felt, sense, lived experience. So the more I've healed and really lived into myself as beloved and allow those attachments to heal and clear, the easier it's been to really manifest people I want to connect with. And for me, it's been important to have time to be single. I have a friend who goes from relationship to relationship to relationship without even 20 seconds to breathe. And I don't really understand where you get a chance to integrate in that. So if that's how it's been for you, I would encourage you to start integrating and cord clearing with those people. You can also cord clear with every lover and every romantic partnership you've ever had. Even if you're in an amazing relationship right now, go in and do the cord clearing and forgiveness. You don't have to remember who they all are. If there's people that you don't remember, depending on how many lovers you've had or, you know, how many years it's been. But I've done this before. I did this numerous times back in the day. And I just imagined all of my lovers, whether it was sex, kissing, flirtation, anything that I was projecting or receiving that energy, I did a cord clearing and forgiveness and cleaned up the energy. Because especially as women, and I feel like this goes for men too, but the pelvic floor, when you're sexually connected with someone and the energy that we carry of the men holding the container, ideally, a lot of them don't know how, and then the women being able to also hold the men in their container, but a lot of women don't know how. It's a lot of relationship work that needs to happen. So the least you can do, the best place to start, is do cord clearing and forgiveness with every person you've ever been in partnership with, lovers, flirtation, kissing, petting, whatever you've been doing. Just clean it up. Clean it all up throughout lifetime, timelines, dimensions, and realms to empower future romantic experiences. With people you've been married to or were in a relationship for a really long time, you'll probably need to do this more than once. For sure. And I promise you, the more you do that, the more you will step out of the story. And at some point you'll realize you hear their name or you think of them and there's no more trigger. It just isn't there. And that's been my experience. One of the things I like about cord clearing and forgiveness is that it helps me step out of the story. So after I got divorced, yes, I've been married. Y'all learn all sorts of stuff about Bloom tonight. So I didn't know at the time about cord clearing forgiveness. As soon as that was uploaded to me and I learned how to do that, I started doing that with my ex-husband. I probably had to do that off and on for like a decade. And not all the time. It was just like after the first 5 or 6 years or whatever, it'd just pop up and I'd go, ugh. And then I'd just do the quick cord clearing forgiveness. And I wouldn't even think about it for another year. And then it'd pop up and I'd go, ugh. And I'd do a cord, you know, even if it's just, ugh, I would do it. And now I'm thinking about him right now and there's no, it's just gone. But there was a lot to heal there, and the betrayal and the different things that I experienced in that. So that's where I would start, really, the cord clearing and forgiveness. And what the counsel I'm receiving is that it would be really good for some of you to do soul retrieval. If you've been in an abusive relationship, a toxic relationship, if you've been with a narcissist, I highly encourage you to not only do cord clearing forgiveness, also do some soul retrieval. Because that, and when we're in relationships like that, our soul aspects will check out in order to keep you safe. I'm not judging that you were in that relationship. I've had relationships where I needed to do some soul retrieval too, for various reasons, mostly because of narcissism. But there's a part of us that disengages in order to do that. And you had karma to clear with that person. And the lesson will keep coming around until you recognize what the lesson is. It'll keep coming around till you don't need that lesson anymore. If you're like me, if you've dated enough people, you can see the patterns. And it got to a point where some dude would walk up and be interested, and I would go, oh, I've dated you. You had a different name, but I know you. Bye, or whatever, you know, and you'll start to recognize patterns. So pay attention to those patterns, because those patterns are showing you where the lessons are. If you're in relationship right now and you're in patterns or loops with your partner, pay attention to what those patterns are, because that's where the lessons are for you. You don't have to walk up to your partner and go, there's loops here. You need to do your work, right? You need to do your work. And what will happen is that will vibrate out to the person you're in partnership with. If you are not in partnership right now and you have no interest in being in partnership right now, you can still clear cords with anybody you have been, and that will support friendships and community and all of it. It's all connected. So as you clear cords with past romantic partnerships, you're also going to heal yourself, clean up your energy, clear out psychic vampire attachments and connections, whatever's going on there, and that'll help you manifest. That'll help you be more abundant. That'll help you bring in prosperity, because you're not walking around still energetically attached to all these people that you haven't forgiven and haven't cleaned up the energy with. It's all connected. You know, so that's the main thing I want to remind you, is that it really is all connected, whether you have any interest in this conversation or not. It's all connected. So that's where we'll leave it for tonight. I did want to spend some time answering questions. And now I'd like to do a little shamanic journey. What I would encourage you to do is go in and find your beloved self, yourself as beloved, and connect with that energy. Invoke that energy, see yourself as beloved, and call it forth to embody. That's what I would encourage. Let's also see what Porcupine has to say. This last piece about beloved that I've learned is that beloved is one in a million. Maybe that's a story, maybe it's true. We'll see. My experience has been that, I mean, I waited 48 years for this brother and no longer believed that this person existed. So I do know that it's possible. And I also had some amazing soulmates in my life that would have been awesome partners as well. But for whatever reason, that didn't play out that way. So don't put too much attachment to it. Oh, and somebody asked about the person who's holding the other end of your cosmic cord. In my personal experience, you are holding the other end of your cosmic cord. Source, spirit is holding the other end of whatever cosmic cord you might be talking about. So you be the end of your cosmic cord. Be your infinite self within yourself. Don't give away your power to somebody else that you think is holding some other end of your cosmic cord. It's great if you feel that connection with them, but be sovereign. To me, that's the main thing. Be sovereign, be a queen, be a king, and bring in your king or queen. That's what it's about for me. Okay. So let's take a minute and breathe into our bellies. Do a brief shamanic journey just to close for tonight. Thanks for being here and letting me yak the whole time. Take a nice deep breath into your belly. Just relax. Take a minute and just check in with where you are in your body. No praise or blame, just awareness of where you are in your body. Remembering to breathe gently into your belly. If you'd like, you can connect with your core, your koshko, to help ground your energy. Just take a moment and visualize your portal door. When you're ready, you can step through that portal door into your sacred space. Invoke your guides, ask your guides to meet you in that place. Feel your guides circled up around with you in your sacred space. And if you'd like, you can ask your guides to flow love into you that allows you to embody self-love, unconditional love, loving support, feeling cherished. Just really sit with the idea of being completely, fully, totally cherished. Just absolutely adored and cherished. See if you can receive that from your guides. If you'd like, you can invite in porcupine medicine to connect with this medicine and see what gift porcupine has for you right now. And invoke yourself as your beautiful beloved, yourself as your love, yourself as your partner. Envision yourself standing in front of you as the most perfect, beloved, loving partner you could ever imagine. Even if you're in partnership, you can do this. Just see yourself, your perfect soul self, beautifully, luminously divine. And when you can see your beautiful, luminous, divine self standing in front of you, total adoration and love and appreciation of you, breathe into your belly, embrace that beautiful soul aspect, and allow that beloved self-love aspect to step into you and become one with you and be embodied fully. Breathe into that. Allow that beautiful medicine to integrate. Invoking the Minari to support and assist in embodying full self-love. Thank you. All alone. Breathe into your belly. Connecting with your guides and your beloved self within and your sacred space. Tell yourself thank you for showing up for you. Thank you for committing to your best life, your most luminous, divine, whole, healed life. Thank your guides. Thank Porcupine, if you connected with Porcupine. As you make your way back through your portal door, embodying beautiful, divine self-love, you're welcome to bring your guides with you. Feel them circled up with you in the space where you are right now. When you're ready, you can close that portal door, feeling your guide circled up with you right where you are in this third dimensional space, and gently open your eyes. For those of you who are continuing with your daily gratitudes, I'm doing that journal as well. And one awesome thing to do is write down your gratefulness for beautiful, divine, amazing, wonderful partnership. If you've got it, or if you want it, or if you want to amplify what you've got, you know, it doesn't have to already be so in the third dimension to give thanks for it. That's how I manifest a lot of things. So I will give thanks for money that's not in my bank account yet. I will give thanks for partnership that I had not met yet. I will give thanks for all sorts of things that haven't necessarily manifested third dimensionally. So that's another good way to work with relationships and any whatever your situation is, to give thanks for what you are manifesting into being, what you're dreaming into being. So I just want to put that out there. And Madison can unmute everybody to say goodnight. Thank you so much for being here. You're welcome. All my beloveds, all my beloveds, good night.
Thank you.